From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. Before we get to this week's episode, I wanted to let you know that on January 13th, President Trump renominated Anthony Lomagino to the Postal Service Board of Governors to fill the vacancy created by the December exit of Ramon Martinez. Trump first nominated Lomagino in June 2025, but the nomination died in the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee at the end of the year 2025. In addition, last week the House of Representatives approved the fiscal year 2026 Financial Services and General Government Appropriations Bill with a bipartisan 341-79 majority. The legislative report accompanying the bill expressed deep concern about the negative impact the Delivering for America plan has had on service and performance. The report urged the Postal Service to halt any further realignment or consolidation of facilities within in any area where on-time delivery falls short of 93% for two-day and 90.3% for 3 to 5 day delivery. The report also underscored the postal harm imposed on rural America, linked to the regional transportation optimization and local transportation optimization plans. Finally, as reported previously, members of Congress and numerous media have criticized the end-of-year change relating to postmarks. The Postal Service defended the change, asserting it better aligned with the Delivering for America plan consolidations. The change also came into greater focus when the Supreme Court ruled 7-2 that Republican Representative Michael Bost of Illinois may sue Illinois for using the postmark as the basis of legitimizing election ballots rather than the date on which the election authority received the ballots. Later this spring, the Supreme Court will consider a much broader case in which the Republican National Committee wants to further restrict mailed absentee ballots. Now, let's welcome to this week's Naps Chat our guest, David Maroney, the Government Accountability Office's Director of Physical Infrastructure. David has worked at the GAO for approximately 22 years, where he has focused on the nation's energy infrastructure. Currently, David and his GAO team work on projects relating to federal property management and the United States Postal Service. Most recently, the team authored two documents. First, a postal primer, and second, a review of the Postal Service's unsustainable business model. Thanks for joining us on Naps Chat, David.
Happy to be here.
David, let's just give a basic information. The Government Accountability Office is an agency established within the legislative branch of the federal government. It's been referred to as Congress's watchdog. Could you explain the role that GAO plays in our government?
Sure. So our mission is to support Congress in carrying out its constitutional duties. We examine how federal dollars are spent, and we also look at how effectively and efficiently federal programs work. The result of our work is objective, nonpartisan, fact-based recommendations to agencies and sometimes to Congress on how to make improvements.
Your recommendations, they're not binding on Congress or on the federal government, are they?
They are not binding. They are recommendations. Most of our recommendations are ultimately implemented by the agencies. But we have the power of persuasion. So we marshal the facts, we make our conclusions, and then it's up to the agencies and to Congress on how to act on them.
You know, David, when I was a congressional staff person many years ago, I engaged with former GAO senior staff members who left tremendous legacies on our federal government. Those were folks like Roz Kleeman and Bernie Unger, who worked at GAO many years ago. They both, in different ways, studied the Postal Service under a microscope and under a telescope. In fact, for as long as I can remember, the Postal Service has appeared on the GAO's high risk list. In GAO's estimation, why is the Postal Service so important to our nation, and why is it at risk?
So it's important to our nation because it really helps bind the nation together. It's important to our economy, for communication, for connecting every American across the country. If you're trying to communicate or provide mail or packages, USPS can deliver to it. And why is USPS still on our high-risk list? It's been there since 2009. And it comes down to USPS's, what we refer to as its fundamentally unsustainable business model. Its financial condition is poor. The reason for that is there is a fundamental tension between the level of services that the Postal Service is required to provide versus its ability to actually fund those services. And again, that has been a long-standing challenge, going back even before 2009. It continues to be the case as mail volumes have declined over the past 20 years, but the number of delivery points across the country have increased. USPS has been in an increasing financial crunch, and that condition is still the case today. So that's why it's still on the list.
You use the term business model, that the Postal Service has an unsustainable business model, and I'd like to explore that with you. We don't usually refer to agencies that provide essential governmental services as business or critique a federal agency's business model. Why is the Postal Service different in that we look at a business model? Like, we don't look at the Department of Defense as having a business model or an unsustainable business model, or the Department of Agriculture, but why the Postal Service?
You're right. We normally don't think of that for federal agencies, but USPS is unique. It's an independent establishment of the executive branch, and it's expected to be financially self-sustaining. So it's expected to generate enough revenues from its business to cover its expenses. That means it's generally not getting appropriations from Congress except for some very specific things, in contrast to typical federal agencies. So the problem with that model is that the revenues that USPS has been generating for the past two decades has not been sufficient enough to cover its expenses. And so you have that fundamental gap that keeps adding up to losses. And ultimately, if not resolved, could have real impacts on taxpayers, on the users of USPS, and on postal employees and retirees.
Has the GAO ever explored whether or not it's appropriate for an agency such as the Postal Service to be self-sufficient in as much as it provides such an essential public service?
So we have identified that as a matter for Congress to consider. Ultimately, it's a policy choice of whether USPS maintained itself as what it is now, a self-sustaining model, whether it moved towards a model that existed prior to the creation of USPS when it was the Postal Office Department back before 1971, where it was appropriated money by Congress. And another option would be to go a more privatized route. All of these have trade-offs. There are pros and cons to each approach. But the fundamental issue is the model as it exists today isn't working. So USPS needs to continue taking actions to try and get its finances as in good shape as it can within its own power. But ultimately, we think Congress is going to need to act to resolve the fundamental tension, to decide what level of services does the nation require, and how are those services going to be funded?
And then that comes down to what is referred to as the universal service obligation. Before we explore that, I just want to ask another question. And in the report, it sort of mentioned this fact, and that is that in 1982, that was the last year the Postal Service actually received a congressional appropriations for a public service subsidy, which is authorized even under current law, though it is a modest subsidy. Considering the importance of the universal service obligation and the Postal Service, you suggested that Congress probably ought to explore that to determine what is the appropriate role of the universal service obligation. How deep do they need to get involved in that?
So I think Congress, as the legislative body, needs to make some fundamental decisions about the structure of USPS, about how it's to be funded, about the services it's to provide, with that last one being the starting point. What level of service is expected from USPS? And based on that, how are you going to fund it? What's the structure that'll best support it? So that could be a range of different options in terms of structure. It could mean more additional appropriations from Congress for specific items. It could mean again, moving towards a more privatized model, or it could be something in between. Again, pros and cons with both. When you're talking about congressional appropriations, one advantage of providing appropriations is that obviously that would help USPS in its financial condition, particularly on some money-losing services. It might be a way to help reduce that financial burden for the Postal Service. On the flip side, though, being part of the appropriations process can add some uncertainty. That might be challenging for an organization like the USPS that operates more like a business. As we can see from year to year, the annual appropriations process sometimes can take longer to resolve than other years. Sometimes there can be gaps in funding. And so adding that into the mix might add a challenge for the Postal Service. So there's definitely trade-offs for Congress to consider in making these decisions.
Let's move on to a different issue. And I may come back to the universal service obligation in a couple of minutes. The immediate past Postmaster General Louis DeJoie complained about the amount of USPS oversight there is. For example, he complained that he had to report to Congress, the Postal Regulatory Commission, the Office of Inspector General of the Postal Service, you, the GAO, the Office of Personnel Management, and the Office of Management and Budget. He even kidded that he had to report to the CIA. Let me ask you, is there too much oversight, too much evaluation, too much regulation, too much intragovernmental entanglement with the USPS, which could potentially impair the agency's ability to perform?
So there certainly is a significant amount of oversight, but USPS is a very significant, large public organization. Even as an independent establishment, oversight is important. And those entities you described also generally perform different roles. GAO and OIG are there conducting audits. The PRC is there as the regulator for USPS. And Congress is there in its policymaking and legislative roles. So certainly the level of oversight and regulation that USPS faces can introduce challenges that it has to manage compared to a normal business, a private sector business. And it certainly can also get caught in the push and pull of different stakeholder interests, and that can also create challenges for how it operates. So it's always something for Congress and these other entities to be aware of. But at the end of the day, oversight's important for any public institution, especially as one as important as the U.S. Postal Service. So count me in as saying oversight is going to remain key, but how that oversight done can always be considered, and how much is appropriate is always an issue that different folks can have different views on.
So oversight improves performance, or does it undermine performance?
So generally speaking, it's going to depend. Oversight, if aimed at, for instance, the work we do, we are making recommendations to try and suggest areas where improved performance could be achieved in efficiency and effectiveness in other ways. So I would say that oversight, when appropriately responded to by the agency, can lead to improved performance. There are other instances where, for instance, if you're talking about regulation, the goal may not be necessarily to improve performance alone, but there may be other goals that oversight is, or that regulation is trying to accomplish. And so that could potentially have an impact on performance, but there are multiple goals when it comes to public institutions, performance being a key one, but also transparency, also ensuring compliance with rules and regulations. So I'd say depends on the situation.
Let's come back to the Universal Service Obligation, or the USO. And you mentioned privatization, how privatization could interact with the USO. But let me ask number one, who should define what the Postal Service ought to do and how, where it delivers, the frequency of delivery, the speed of delivery? Where does that come from?
So ultimately, at a high level, the fundamental levels of service required, that's Congress deciding, for instance, how many days a week is the Postal Service delivering. It's in statute that USPS must deliver as far as practical to every American. So there are certain high-level requirements that Congress sets out. In terms of the details, the more specifics about routes, where things go, that is generally going to fall to USPS in line with its Board of Governors and making those kind of decisions. But There are numerous stakeholders in this space who are going to have views that they're going to express, potentially to USPS, potentially to Congress. So it's a complicated picture.
What is the universal service obligation?
So at a high level, it's defined in statute, but not in a single place. But at a high level, I think of it as the expectation for the requirement for the Postal Service to deliver mail to, as far as practical, to the American public 6 days a week. There are other aspects of it, but I think that's at the fundamental level, to deliver to the entire nation.
What people are somewhat anxious about is they're looking to our overseas neighbors and folks across the pond. And at the end of 2025, a country like Denmark, which is the size of the state of Massachusetts, decided that its governmental postal authority was no longer carrying letter mail because it didn't make any money carrying letter mail. Are we in danger of falling into that type of trap?
So I don't think we are in Postal Service. Congress has consistently emphasize the importance of USPS's mission of the delivery of mail. So I don't have any sense of that coming to an end like it has in Denmark. I do think where the issues are is defining exactly how that service is provided and how it's going to be paid. So I don't I don't foresee an end to letter mail, as you described, happening in Denmark. But I do think some serious considerations of the current model need to be taken to ensure that letter mail is delivered in a way that meets the American public's needs while is also financially sustainable.
In your report on the Postal Service sustainability, the GAO recommended that the Postmaster General develop publicly available financial projections of revenue and expenses. We're talking about finances, not performance right now. And the Postal Service pushed back against that recommendation. The Delivering for America plan was intended to reduce postal expenses and improve performance. Why does the GAO feel that such long-term projections are essential for postal financing and performance?
So it's a key practice for any organization, really linking your near-term goals for a kind of transformation like the Delivering for America plan is trying to accomplish to your long-term outcomes, where you want to end up. Now, USPS notes correctly that projections are inherently uncertain, particularly the further out you get, but they are still valuable. They give one sense to the organization of how are we doing against what we hope to achieve? What are some changes we may need to make based on whether we are or not meeting our goals and what may be causing us not to meet our goals and when that's the case. It's also an important communication tool to Congress and other stakeholders about where USPS sees its action leading the organization, both in terms of communicating how are we doing, but also an important communication to Congress of when they may need to act. If there are clear points at which, if certain things happen, USPS will be in worse financial condition. It's not the idea is not that you have a single perfect projection 10 years from now that you're going to hit exactly and nothing changes between now and then. You can have projections that have a range of different assumptions about inflation, about potential congressional action, about how your initiatives at USPS play out that can still give you a sense of how to adjust going forward, making sure you are achieving the results you hope to, while also communicating to Congress and others how you're doing and when additional actions may be needed. So we think it's really important for USPS, particularly given its financial condition, to have these type of long-term projections.
Are you familiar with the term stochastic modeling?
I'm familiar with the term, yes.
A commissioner of the Postal Regulatory Commission, Tom Day, who used to serve on, it would be a senior executive Postal Service, was critical of the Postal Service for not engaging in stochastic modeling in developing the Delivering for America plan. Do you think this long-term projections help guide stochastic modeling, or is it irrelevant to stochastic modeling?
So I can't speak to whether it's relevant or irrelevant to that. I would just emphasize again, regardless of what approaches USPS is taking going forward, it's really important to have a sense of where they're heading, both for themselves, but importantly for Congress and, again, other stakeholders to know where they're going, understand what may impact those projections, and then allow for all the relevant stakeholders to understand when things don't go according to projection, because, again, they are inherently uncertain. The idea is not that you hit your projections exactly, it's that it helps guide your actions and adjustments as needed to get to your result.
GAO has done a lot of work in evaluation of the Delivering for America plan and its implementation. At this point in time, where do these evaluations stand? And that goes for plant realignment, reorganization, performance, finances, and so forth.
So I would say the Living for America plan is still a work in progress, and it's been a mixed bag in terms of results. So we found, as have the Office of Inspector General and others, that USPS has increased some of its revenues. It has certainly reduced some of its costs. And at a fundamental level, and it's taken action. And I think that is important to emphasize. It's important that USPS have bold ideas to have how to, within its own control, try and return as close to financial sustainability as it can. Stasis is not an option. But on the flip side, expenses continue to exceed revenues. Unfunded benefit liabilities continue to increase. Service performance has taken a hit over the past several years during the course of the transformation. So there have been some significant bumps in the road, and USPS financial condition continues to be poor. So our fundamental assessment hasn't changed on that front. And ultimately, while we think and we emphasize in our latest report that USPS should continue to take whatever actions it can within its own authority to improve its financial situation, ultimately, we believe Congress is going to need to take action and consider the level of services required by the nation, how to fund those services, and what the appropriate institutional structure is for the USPS going forward.
I know that GAO has spent a lot of time over the years looking at ways to reduce costs and expenses by the Postal Service. Has GAO taken a close look about opportunities, potential opportunities for enhanced revenue generation?
So enhanced revenue generation is another option. There are certainly additional services the Postal Service could potentially offer out of post offices. The new Postmaster General has been addressing ways to potentially increase revenues from some action at the last mile. So there are certainly steps that USPS can take on its own to try and increase its revenues further, and we would encourage them to do so. It is important for them to both try and to continue to reduce costs and increase the revenues. But it gets back to that fundamental issue we've been discussing. While those actions are important, we do not think on their own that USPS is going to be able to raise enough revenues to exceed expenses and therefore get back to a sustainable business model. We think congressional action is going to be required ultimately.
So assume that I'm the chairman of a combined House-Senate committee with oversight over the Postal Service. And I ask you, David, what do you think the three most important issues I should deal with in a postal bill? What would you suggest?
So weighing the options on those three items I've been raising. So first off, in our latest report, we identified a number of options for Congress to consider when it comes to ways to increase revenue, ways to reduce expenses, ways to address the funding and structure of USPS. So the three big issues are, okay, what level of service? Right now it's 6 days a week across the nation, a number of other parts of what services are required. Take a look at that. Is that the level of service you want? Is it something different? Second, once you've determined that, okay, how are we going to fund that? Right now, the current model where USPS is meant to be self-sustaining isn't working. Does that mean Congress subsidizes, provides appropriations for certain money-losing services that are important for public reasons but are not profitable lines of business? Does it go more with a privatized model, or does it make other adjustments? That'd be number two. And then number three is the current structure of USPS, where it's an independent establishment of the executive branch, just like it has been since the 1970s. Does that continue to make sense? Does that allow for the balance between service levels and funding to work out. Those are three big areas that I would ask Congress to take. Ultimately, those are all policy choices. We don't weigh in on the specifics of which of those is the right approach. They all come with trade-offs, pros and cons, and that's for Congress to decide. But really getting into the details of those and deciding as a Congress where they want the nation's Postal Service to be is important.
So let me just paraphrase. Congress needs to do its job. I'm not putting words in your mouth, but that's me. Congress needs to do its job, decide the level of service, how they're going to pay for that service, and the structure by which that service is delivered to the American public. Would that be accurate?
Those are the matters we've put up before Congress, both in 2020 and in our most recent report.
David, I want to thank you for joining us today on this week's episode of NAPS Chat. This has been David Maroney of the Government Accountability Office. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Bob.
And I want to thank NAPS Chat listeners for logging on today. Please share NAPS Chat with your friends and colleagues. In the meantime, stay safe and stay healthy.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you. I'm gonna